student, Manu Shalizadeh, and also Bob Thomas at Cornell. So I'm going to talk about electrical vehicles. So this actually is a work that we are generalizing to other types of loads, so stay tuned for future development of this work. So I'll go and talk a little bit about the traditional dispatch and the traditional load forecasting, and also the approaches that are put forward for controlling loads. And then I will discuss what I propose as an architecture to manage the scheduling. I think a lot of the speakers before did me the favor of introducing the problem of closing the loop to the consumer, making the consumer smarter. I would like to make a brief analogy. Suppose you have a store where you only sell one product, and any customer that comes in the store has a different request, but no matter what price you fix, the customer will buy whatever was the preset amount and will get out of the store. So obviously this will be a fantastic market to operate any store if you could just let the price be what you wanted, because the customer always buys the same amount it wanted without any smart decision about the price. So changing the system as it is right now means that you actually will allow this customer to change the demand once the store posts a ridiculous price. And this will make this market operate normally. Otherwise, we will be stuck with enormous amount of regulations and continue to just not operate this efficiently as a real market. So now electrical vehicles are friends and foes. They are friends because they have no emissions. They don't depend on oil, so electricity can be produced by from many sources. However, though they are high voltage loads, they're about four plasma TVs pretty much. It's turning, putting your battery to charge will be perhaps equivalent to that amount of energy requirement. So congestion is a big problem, and people are afraid of what can happen. In fact, it was even suggested that in California you should get a special permission to buy an electrical car because the utility was really afraid of having to eventually deal with blackouts and other problems. So in general, why is this a problem? Because there is no feedback control on the load, right? So all the dispatch has to match demand and supply in real time. One of the big problems in the electricity is that there is no storage, right? So that has to happen in real time. Just to make an example, you could store energy if you had a big hydroelectric plant, right? You could pump water up instead of down. But in general, in terms of scale, it's really complicated to store energy efficiently. So it's a loss. It's always at a considerable loss. So the prediction obviously is something that can excite the fantasy of signal processing people. But it turns out that a lot of the techniques that we developed in the 80s are promptly applied to this problem. A lot of statisticians also work on this problem. So this is a very mature field, and as long as the load continues to grow in a way that is well handled by these models, things don't really need significant research. Typically what we have is 10% accuracy in the prediction of the load. This is fed to the optimal dispatch of energy, and things go from there. So what is the load? Since this audience is not necessarily so familiar with this terminology. So the load is the power that is drawn essentially by any appliance that you plug, by the light that you turn on, by your hair conditioner, and so on. And it is mathematically, effectively a signal. It's a complex signal. It's that envelope of a phasor that represents the product between the voltage and the current conjugate at a particular line. And again, these are complex because that is the envelope, the complex envelope of the signal, which is around the operating frequency, 50 hertz for Europe, 60 hertz for the United States. is not just generated, obviously, by a single system. In terms, when we look at buses, or you looked at the bus systems that were shown before, these electrical grid, these were samples of the transmission systems, and every line in that system obviously bundles up a lot of requests that come from the distribution network that arrives to your home. So there are two types of requests that form this load. One are generated by things that I will describe as automatas, like electrical vehicles are this, right? So they come with a certain state for their battery, and they want to fill it up to a certain amount. And in a lot of the discussion that is done right now, the question is whether you would actually provide energy in chunks. But actually, that's very bad for the battery. In fact, you should actually continuously charge it. And so in the model that we adopt, we assume that these electrical vehicles are not preemptable. Once they are on, they will stay on and charge for the entire duration. And I would say that the same applies to other appliances, like your dishwasher, your washing machine, and so on. And there are other instances that are more storage systems, as Tim said, refrigerators, heaters, air conditioners. They have a measured state, the temperature. They want to lead it to a certain point, and they will continuously adjust their requests based on what they monitor is the state of the system. So I'm not going to discuss anything that is relevant to those. But I think that, for example, the methods that Shalini was mentioning of pricing could be easily applied to those. So smart grid metering has made the load visible, but is not still clear how to make it controllable. Tim initially was saying that he's going to have by January some way of closing that loop. There are a lot of ideas. Should we send the price to each individual device? Should we send the price to a home energy management system? A lot of proposals. This is one of them. And this one is based on the fact that if I want to have transactions, I should specify what I want. And I should specify it, because this has to be automated, to a computer. So how do I specify what my car wants to a computer system that can automatically schedule it, and schedule it to optimize the shape of this load? Okay, so I'm assuming that this can be directly controlled, because the load will perform a request, and digitizing this request is what this talk is about, and that I can delay the time at which this request is met. So there are currently two approaches. I'm going to be very brief on this. One is demand-side management, demand response. One is price-based, and one is load control. And again, I cite Tim again. He said that you may have pricing 5 minutes before, and then after a while, you wouldn't want to just do pricing. You need some form of control. And I very much agree that pricing may cause problems. So the type of pricing that currently are considered is one, it's the traditional one, is time of use, depending on the time of day. It's a little bit like cell phone systems. You are charged a different rate. And instead, the real-time pricing is the new wave, where these prices are actually computed based on the spot market of energy, which already exists, and the consumer is made aware of that. And somehow, some automated system takes advantage of that. The load control, instead, is another strategy. You subscribe to a service, and you accept, for some incentive, to have your load interrupted. So my air conditioning will be interrupted at an optimum time by the utility. And I get some benefit out of this. My cost is reduced, or I get even directly money based on how many times they use my service. So these are what is called ancillary service. I could be part of this system that can be utilized to optimize the network. So there are problems, obviously, with pricing. The rebound peak problem that was mentioned by Shalini is certainly a problem of real-time pricing, and it is a dynamical system, so there was a question before on stability. So there is a question whether this will cause oscillations, which are even worse. And you can obviously understand that the time of use may be actually a problematic approach because it's set up much ahead of time. And I think Shalini explained that very well, so I'm not going to spend more time on this. The problem with load curtailment, with the sort of having a control made by the control station, is that it's very hard to understand how much you inconvenience the student, the consumer. So it's hard to predict whether people will subscribe in swarms or how you are going to make the control so that you don't inconvenience too much the people that subscribe, so that you will have enough people that subscribe. So that these are the questions. Pricing instead takes that into account because you can set up your system and respond to it, while load curtailment is done top-down, and so you may be very unhappy with what the utility does. So I think this is a good solution because by specifying explicitly what you want at this time, then you can utilize both pricing and safety limits to decide how to shape the load. And there is a new term that is trying to emerge here. So how do you make energy transactive so that every time that you want something, there is a transaction that goes on? So the idea is that you have actually to specify what you want. So obviously not all loads are like electrical vehicles. So we assume that there is a traditional load that you can predict with 10% of accuracy, and that superimposed to this is electrical vehicle load. And the key idea is to unbundle it. So to say that that this process that constitutes the smart EV load is not something that reacts to price, but it's something that you are informed about. So there is an arrival process, which we assume it's a Poisson process. TIA are the arrivals of these electrical vehicles. Associated to each arrival, there is a charge amount. You want to be charged for a certain amount, C sub i. And so the degree of freedom that we have is that we can actually change this time into a time TID, which is greater than TII, so that the shape of these smart loads is as close as possible to what helps paying less for the consumer, inconveniencing them the least possible, and be sensitive to price. So obviously the arrival process is the simple staircase profile, and this is the demand process. So we are discussing how to perform this mapping. Okay, so what we will want to communicate is the time of arrival and the charge. And then it's very easy to understand that you will have to quantize both items. But the interesting part is that as you quantize the amount of charge, for example, you will use 4 bits to quantize it, and you will have 16 classes. What you basically do is turn this feedback control problem is actually in a network flow problem. Because this classification, so this saying that each charge belongs to a discrete set, essentially puts every one of these requests in a queue. So what you are doing is effectively storing demand instead of storing energy. You're using that to work around the problem that you cannot store energy. And at this point, you can sort of lose track of who was that arrived at a certain time. You just have a certain number of arrivals over a certain time unit, and the scheduler should fix a certain amount of these to depart at a certain time. And if you take the difference between the total departure at time kt and time k minus t, so the amount that should depart in this interval, then you can reshape the load, essentially convolving the shape with a rectangular pulse that has exactly the same duration, which is the load profile of the electrical vehicle. This is actually an interesting point. You can actually lose track of who arrived in this queue, and this is perhaps useful for anonymity, because all you have to do to essentially feedback the information on who should start is to find where is that the arrival process matched the optimum departure process at a certain time. And you just send back this timestamp that says, if you arrived at this time, please go ahead and switch on. Okay? So this is the feedback mechanism. And so at this point, this is just essentially what we are thinking, is that electrical vehicles will interact with some software. It could be in your iPhone or other smart PDA, or it could be in your house. It could be just some software in your computer, which will operate as a home energy management system. And we'll communicate these local decisions to a place that could be situated at the level of each transformer, or perhaps even better, at the substation level. So the substation level will be informed of what is the bid, what is the expected profile of load consumption for that day. And there will be also some network management that could be opportunistically placing renewable energy, especially if this is available in your area. And essentially what the local decision will consist on is deciding what is the optimum departure rate so that the shape of this process matches as much as possible the energy that you have available. So I'm just going to conclude very quickly with some preliminary results. I'm not going to show you the structure of this optimization, but there is going to be more soon. I just submitted the paper on with Manush on to SmartGrid.com with this formulation of this optimization. So imagine that the profile of power available is this blue profile. This is the combination of your day ahead bid for the consumption of potentially renewable and minus the traditional load that has to be met, that is present in the network. And suppose that this is your uncontrolled electrical vehicle loads. You can actually just utilize the scheme that I just proposed and select optimally this departure time over finite horizon windows to get what is in the green line. So this will be the scheduled load. So as you can see, you see what you expect. You see that this profile tries to match as much as possible the blue line. However, and the transient is not great. You have to imagine that this will work better in steady state. However, the important point is that it is also paying a cost for delaying the consumers. And therefore, it is not necessarily matching this exactly. It doesn't have also the degrees of freedom necessarily to match this exactly. But more so, it tries to also meet them at a certain time that is not excessively high. So here we have a fixed rate Poisson arrival process with 3 car per time unit. And we have a look-ahead horizon of 5 time units. It could be minutes or 5 minutes periods. We find that the delay is no more than 50 units in this particular example, so you would be delayed about an hour. And this is the main result, is that you can essentially bring this to a 50% reduction of deviation from the original profile. The motivation is that you are not trying to sort of let the dynamical system find this equilibrium. You're actually engineering the optimum shape. So this is the mixture of control and pricing. You're aware of pricing, but you are not giving a single price to every agent. You are actually doing very different actions for the different agent to meet this profile. And this concludes my talk. I will skip this. So in conclusion, efficient markets need to have some way of sailing on good opportunities, need to be aware of pricing. But this is a market that has a lot of safety constraints, and therefore some optimization framework is necessary. I think that more than a simple feedback control, there is no simple feedback control system that could control the load. I think the load needs to be unbundled and possibly dealt with as a service. So network flows and queuing could replace, breakthrough in the storage technology. And so the basic principle, though, to do so is to unbundle and digitize the load so that one can exactly express what every load wants. And I think there is a lot of space in signal processing to aid that process. Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Okay.
So, given this model, every consumer needs to charge the car, comes and sets up an arrival time.
Yeah.
Says, I am at home and I want to charge my vehicle.
And I want, and my battery is depleted this much, so this is how much I want to charge. Yeah.
Shouldn't there be a departure time, meaning that I want to leave at, say, 7 a.m. in the morning and have my vehicle?
So in this model, what we model the delay with is an inconvenience cost, right? So we are trying to minimize that in our objective function. And you can imagine that you could put it as a hard constraint. We haven't dealt it with as a constraint because we wanted to see, just by playing with the different weight that we gave to every cost, could we predictably have a reasonable amount of cost. Now, dealing with the individual constraint on the individual consumer also is complicated through this model, because it will be much better in terms of also scalability to lose the specifics on the consumer, to just scale the number that will go at this time, okay? So I think more practical in this environment also for scalability would be just trying to play with the parameters and the costs so that you, in fact, give something which is satisfactory, which is a little bit the internet model. I mean, they don't know when I want to have the file, right? They just try to put enough capacity that I won't be too dissatisfied. And I think that's a more reasonable model in this context. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for coming to this session.